Will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. It's a small book. One of the easiest ways to find it is to start in the book of Matthew and back up about 20 or 30 pages in your Bible. We'll be looking at Habakkuk chapter 3. I want to read verses 17, 18, and 19. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verses 17 through 19. I want to mention before I really read these verses, I want to mention that there is a major difference if you read the book of Habakkuk. There are only three chapters, but if you read those three chapters, you'll find that in the beginning of the book, that Habakkuk begins as sometimes, I think this is almost a picture and a transition that takes place in the lives of many of God's children. For example, in the beginning of the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk begins by arguing with God and questioning God and almost seems angry with God because of circumstances and conditions that are in his life and in the lives of those around him. So Habakkuk chapter 1, the first four verses especially, in fact, most of the first chapter, Habakkuk is very angry and is questioning God and is arguing with God. And then in chapter 2, there seems to be a little difference in his attitude. And in the first couple of verses, he makes it clear, God, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to pay attention to what you say. So instead of arguing with God and questioning God as he did in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he begins by saying, I'm going to listen to the Lord. And so he was making a positive step, though it wasn't as far as he should be. He began to make a transition in chapter 2, or God began to change his thinking. And then in chapter 3, if you'll notice the second verse, he begins to make an even greater transition when he says in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. He's listened and says, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. And then this last phrase that he makes is something that's very common to God's people when they grow in understanding. He said, in wrath, what? Remember mercy. So what's he saying? God, in all of your wrath, I ask you to remember mercy. And then when you get to the end of the book of Habakkuk, and that's what I want us to look at primarily today, you see a major difference in his attitude toward God, his respect for God, and his confidence in God. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. I want to just stop right there and get you to think about what he's saying in that 17th and 18th verses. He's saying, even though everything else, I may lose everything. There may not be any food. There may not be any herd in the stalls. There may not be any fruit on the vines. There may be major problems that exist. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord no matter what the physical conditions are all around me. Now that's a tremendous difference. It's almost, in chapter 1, you begin at one end of the spectrum. Chapter 3, you get to the other end of the spectrum. In chapter 3, Habakkuk is humbling himself under the mighty hand of God. And he says, in the beginning of the chapter, he seems to say, I'm not going to worship you. I'm not going to serve you unless you give me what I want and unless you stop my troubles. In the end of the chapter, he says, now, God, it doesn't matter if I have all these troubles, I'm going to rejoice in you anyway. No matter what the problems are in our lives, you need to pray that God will help you to get like Habakkuk was, where, what did Job say that kind of is similar to this? Job said, though he, what? Though he slay me And that's similar to what Habakkuk is saying here. Even though all these bad conditions may exist, he says, yet will I trust in the Lord. Yet will I joy in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Did you know that in our lives, that sometimes we have very difficult problems in our lives, and yet, brethren, I believe with all of my heart, like David said in Psalm 23:4, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If you can feel God's presence with you, if God will just be with you and comfort you, you can face everything in life, even great financial catastrophe. Even the collapse of a nation, the children of God in that nation can feel joy in the Lord no matter what else happens in their life. Economic conditions change, don't they? Are they changing in America? Are economic conditions changing? I was thinking last night as I looked at the contrast in the deficit, the debt of the United States of America. We have increased our national debt by 10% in the past month. I want you to think about that. We have increased our national debt by 10% in the last month. Things that it took us years and years and years to get to the point we're at. And then in the last month, we have increased the national debt by 10%. Now, listen, brethren, economic conditions are changing in America. They are changing. But even though economic conditions are changing, that's no reason for you to change your attitude and your feeling and your love for God. In fact, you need to be stronger in your love for God than ever before. You need to draw nigh to God, and then He will draw nigh to you. You need to understand that even though the economic conditions of our nation are changing, that God does not change. And I thank God for that. Even though the laws of our land are changing, God's laws do not change. God says, because I change not, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 6, God says, because I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 about Jesus, He's the same, what? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not matter that the economic conditions or national conditions or depravity of our nation is getting worse. None of that matters in the light of the fact it does all matter. But what I'm saying is it ought not to matter as far as your confidence and as far as your joy and as far as your love for God. You just need to draw close to God because that's the only thing that's going to help you and help me and help our nation is if we will draw nigh to God. So I encourage you this morning that you always remember that no matter what else is changing, that God can still provide. What is Habakkuk saying in Habakkuk 3:17? He's saying, even though I lose all these things, even though there's no income, even though I can't see anything good happening in a positive way, in a material way, in a natural way, I don't see anything good happening, he says, I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm still going to be happy. Now, I think there are two reasons that he could do that. Number one is that Habakkuk knew and understood that it did not matter, listen carefully, it does not matter if none of these things produce food, God can still provide. Isn't that amazing? It is absolutely amazing when you think about, as you look back in the history of God's holy word, it is amazing how God has always taken care of His faithful people. What kind of preparations did the children of Israel make as far as gathering up food and preparing for being out in the wilderness for 40 years? What kind of preparation did they make? What kind of food did they prepare? How many gallons of water did they take? I've been reading this past week on how to prepare for different kinds of catastrophes. And one of the things that you need is so many gallons of water per person and all these other things that you need. Now, I'm not telling you not to prepare. I believe that it's a fool that does not prepare for the things that are coming in our land. And you need to be preparing. But in all the preparation, you need to understand and remember and know that no preparation that you make without God's guidance and without God's wisdom is going to be of any value whatsoever. And the fact is, listen carefully, the fact is, it's God that we need more than those things anyway. If you'll just draw nigh to God, stay close to God, and do what you ought to do, God will guide you and God will direct you and God will provide. God will provide. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, He will lift you up. God provided for the children of Israel out in the wilderness. What about, wasn't it, I always get it mixed up, Elijah or Elisha that was down by the brook, and he didn't have any food. I believe it was Elijah, wasn't it? You remember how he ran from Jezebel, got down there. I may have all this mixed up. I should have looked this up. I meant to, but I just thought about Elisha down there by that brook, and he was just moaning and groaning and crying. And what did God do? God had a raven. How many of you feed the birds? Is there anybody here that feeds birds, has bird feeders out? I feed the birds. I like to feed the birds. I like to look at the birds. Well, this is a rare instance where God had birds feeding a man. Now, you might say, that is totally impossible. Yes, as far as men are concerned, what kind of preparation did that prophet of God make to be down there by that brook and have no food? He made no preparation, but God made preparation for him, didn't he? And what I want you to know and understand, and what I want you to believe, is the power of God in providing for His people no matter what happens in our lives. And so it is that God provided for the children of Israel. God provided for His prophet there by sending a raven to bring him the food that he needed. All through the Word of God, we find numerous examples when God was about to send great judgment on Egypt. What did God do? God sent His servant to the head of Egypt and He told him, we're going to have 7 years of plenty. Have we not had plenty? Have we had plenty? God told Egypt, He says, you're going to have 7 years of plenty, and then you're going to have 7 years of famine. What did the wise Pharaoh do when he heard and believed the message from God? Did he make preparations? Yes, he did make preparations. And what I want you to know is that God can guide you and direct you and have you make the preparations that you need for the difficult times in life, or God can cause such a great catastrophe to come that all of your preparations are blown upon and you have nothing, but God still can provide. God is not dependent on your preparations to bless your life. Isn't that a great God? And so Habakkuk says, even though I don't have anything, even though I'm going to have hard times, he says, I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. That's a great, great blessing, a great testimony. His faith, his confidence, his trust was in God. Did he trust in uncertain riches? Did he trust in the material things of this world? Did he trust in his own preparation? Not at all. His trust, his faith, his confidence was in God. Back up in your Bibles, just probably again another 30 or 40 pages, back up to the book of Daniel. I want you to look at Daniel. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, brethren, these three Hebrew children, the three children of God here, these three servants of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had as strong a faith in God as anybody I know of. Their faith was in God. Now, they were slaves, they were prisoners, but they were not afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. They were not afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were not afraid of the fire that he threatened to put them down in if they didn't bow down and worship his gods. Do you see their strong faith, their tremendous faith, as they faced that fire? Was there any fear? Was there any fear? no fear whatsoever. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to build this golden image. You're going to bow down to that golden image, or else I'm going to put you in that burning fiery furnace. I want you to come down in your Bibles. Look in your Bibles now at Daniel chapter 3. Come down to verse 14. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. The Word of God says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, that is to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? I'll just pause right here and ask you, do you realize that we are serving the gods of this world sometimes? That we are serving the gods of this world. And we need to reach a point where we refuse to serve the gods of this world. In any way, in any capacity, we need to pray, God, help me not to serve the gods of this world. Verse 15 says, now, this is still Nebuchadnezzar speaking to the three Hebrew children. Daniel chapter 3, verse 15, he says, now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, if ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, that is, everything will be all right. He's giving them another chance, isn't he? And then he says, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Who is the God? Well, he's the God of heaven and earth. He's the only true and living God. Verse 16, listen carefully now to verse 16, 17, and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Isn't that wonderful? We're not afraid of you. We're not afraid of you, and we're not careful about how we answer you. We're going to answer you so clearly and so plainly, you'll have no doubt of our position. Were these politicians or were these faithful children of God? Were these people that tried to answer something in such a way that they could trick him and still try to maintain some kind of integrity with God? Not at all. Verse 17, after he says, and we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Verse 17, here's what they said. If it be so, our God, I want you to listen carefully. Listen. Everybody look at me and listen just a minute. These three Hebrew children had ultimate faith in the power of God. Now listen carefully. Can you trust in the Lord? Can you trust in the Lord? Anything in your life? Okay, all right. That's probably the way most of us are. We can trust Him with some things, but anything? Everything? To say, God, I trust You with my life. I trust You with my children's lives. I trust You with everything. I want Your will to be done no matter what. Now that's tremendous faith. And I want you to watch as in verse 17 and 18. I've never really noticed this until this week. That in verse 17, the children of Israel here, they prove their great faith in the power of God. And then in verse 18, they prove their faith in the will of God. Listen, verse 17, proving their faith in the power of God. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Is that total confidence and faith in the power of God? Did they believe that God was able to do it? Now, did they believe they could pull the string and make God do it? Did they think God was a puppet, and if they believed with all their heart that He had to do what they said? They didn't believe any of that. They said, my God is able, but if He doesn't do it, if He doesn't deliver us from that burning fiery furnace, we want you to know that He's going to deliver us from your hand. How is He going to deliver them? How was He going to deliver them? How could He deliver them? If He didn't deliver them from the burning fiery furnace, how was He still going to deliver them from the hand of the king? They were going to die and go right home to be with the Lord. Now listen, did they believe? Did they have faith? Did they have confidence in the power of God? Indeed they did. Now come down to verse 18. But if not, if He doesn't deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now what are they showing? Their faith in what? Their faith in God's will. Do you see that in verse 18? They show their faith in God's power in verse 17. They show their faith in God's will. You know, one of the greatest, most marvelous testimonies a person can ever give is, I trust the Lord in every way and for everything. I want God's will to be done. Isn't that a marvelous testimony? Whatever God's will is, that's a marvelous testimony. Have so much confidence and faith in the power of God and the will of God and the wisdom of God, in the love of God and in the ways of God, that you can say, no matter what comes, God doeth all things well. That songwriter that wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul, I think he had just gotten a message that he thought that part of his family had drowned and been killed, and it was in that moment he sat down and wrote, It Is Well With My Soul. Oh, brethren, it's wonderful to have that kind of faith. And did you know you can have that kind of faith? You can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can exercise your faith. You can believe God. Not just believe in God, but believe God and trust God. Get close to God. If I could get you to do one thing in your life, it's get closer to God. Get closer to God. That's what you need more. That's what I need more than anything else in my life, is to draw nigh to God. Because the closer you get to God, the more you're going to be able to trust the Lord. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to be able to trust His power and His wisdom and His love and everything. You're going to know He doeth all things well. It's a great God, isn't it? It's the only true and living God. Come down to verse 23, still looking at, what are we looking at? Somebody tell me in one sentence, starting with Habakkuk, what are we basically, how would you summarize what we're trying to talk about this morning? Sometimes I feel like, well, not sure if anybody knows what the point is. I've left worship services many times when I would leave and I'd think, I don't know what that preacher was trying to get across. Have you ever been there where you just, gosh, I don't know what the point was? All right, that's good, Brother David. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Faith what? Simple faith. All right, trust in the Lord. Brother Dalton, you think your daddy can take care of you? Okay. He's sitting there. He's got his arm wrapped around his daddy's arm. I mean, both arms wrapped around his head on his shoulder. I'll tell you, brethren, isn't childlike faith wonderful? Did you hear the wisdom of what he said, the knowledge and the understanding of what he said? When I said what I wanted him to say, what I thought he was going to say was, my daddy can take care of me, because when I was your age, that's all I would probably say is, my daddy can take care of me. But you know what he said? My daddy can take care of me, but not without God. Thank the Lord for the knowledge and the understanding that you have. We need to trust men to some degree. We need to have confidence in men to some degree. But if our total confidence is in men, God says, that's wrong. Our confidence can't be in men or ourselves or our bank accounts or whatever else we do. Our confidence, our trust, our faith must be in God. Now, how many of you would love to walk around with Jesus? How many of you would like to have Jesus right by your side? I mean so much by your side that you could look over there and see Him right there beside you. How many of you would like to do that? Okay. How many of you are willing to go through a burning fire furnace to feel Jesus that close to you? Well, what happened to all the hands, see? We want to experience what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Jesus was right there with them. He was right beside them. They knew He was there. Even Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked down into the burning fiery furnace, he said, did not we cast three men bound down into that burning fiery furnace, but behold, I see four loosed, walking about, and one of them is like, the Scripture says, let me see, the Son of God. Isn't that marvelous? Nebuchadnezzar, you ever seen a picture of Jesus? No, but I'm telling you, the power of God opened his eyes, and he knew that the Son of God was right down there in that burning fiery furnace. I love to feel Jesus that close to me, don't you? But I don't think I've ever felt Jesus that close to me except I was in a burning fiery furnace. Never been in a literal burning fiery furnace, but I've been in some difficult times in my life, and you've been in some difficult times in your life, and you'll have to acknowledge that most of the time that you have felt, the times that you have felt the closest to God was when you had the biggest problems and the biggest troubles in your life. There is freedom. Listen carefully. This is so pretty. I wish I, like Brother McKinnon said, I wish I could preach it like it is. They got freedom because they were willing to die. And I'm not talking about freedom where they just ran around and did what they wanted to do. That's not what I'm talking about. There is great freedom when you're not afraid to die. There's great freedom when your confidence in God is so great that you can say like the Apostle Paul, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it's needful that I stay here. That's total, total freedom where nobody can threaten you. And you run and do what they tell you to do when what they're telling you to do is contrary to the Word of God. People that really feel close to God, their total confidence is in God, they're free. Jesus said, if ye continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see the freedom Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had because they had faith. As they faced this fire, their faith was in God. Not in men, not in Daniel. Their total faith was in God. Now, what else did they have? They had fellowship with Jesus. And they had fellowship with Jesus in the midst of the fire. When you face the troubles and the problems of life, listen carefully. When you're facing the troubles and the problems of life, like Brother David said, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. But don't wait. Listen carefully. Don't wait. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't draw nigh to God. They didn't start drawing nigh to God when they were on the edge of that burning fiery furnace. Did you know that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they'd already proven themselves. They'd already walked with God. They'd already been faithful to God. They were faithful servants of God a long time before they got to the edge of that burning fiery furnace. And their faith didn't waver when they got to the edge of that burning fiery furnace. And then when they were thrown down into the burning fiery furnace, they still were confident in God. Whether He would deliver them or no, they didn't know. But they knew they were going to be delivered from the hand of the king. And they got down in there and God delivered them from the burning fiery furnace. Teresa, what was the chapter of the Bible that your daddy learned by heart and quoted over and over to you and your other children? Amen. Teresa's daddy was bedridden for a long time before he died. He died when she was 11 or 12 years old. She had five sisters and a brother. Now you think about that. Your daddy's dying. You think about if you're the daddy. Do you know how you feel if you're the daddy and you can't provide for your family? Do you know how you feel? Do you know how you feel? You feel terrible when you're the daddy and you can't provide for the family. And he lay there on that bed and over, he knew John chapter 14 by heart. And he would quote that to his children day after day. Let not your heart be troubled. Think about that now. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's what we need to do, brethren. Don't let your heart be troubled no matter what happens in this economy or in our nation or in your personal life, no matter what else happens in our world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He comes on down. I encourage you to read John 14. I encourage you to memorize John 14. I encourage you to memorize the Word of God. I'm going to tell you how to best prepare. I'm going to tell you how to prepare for the troubles that are going to come in your life. I'm going to tell you how to prepare. Don't you tell anybody else, but I'm just going to tell y'all. You get close to God. You memorize as much of the Word of God as you can. You get in God's Word. You memorize the Word of God. You memorize Scripture after Scripture. If you don't commit God's Word to your heart, if you don't memorize God's Word, you're going to fall flat on your face. You need the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Don't just prepare the natural bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You need the Word of God. You need all the Word of God. You need God, you need the Word of God, and you need the people of God. I need you, you need me. We need to help each other. That's one of the reasons God gave us the church. He gave us the church primarily to worship God, but He gave us brothers and sisters in Christ so that when we go through troubled times, that we'll all be praying one for another, that we'll be doing everything we can to help one another. And I thank God for the privilege that I have to know the one true and living God, the privilege I have to be able to read and study God's holy word, and to know that my mama loves me, and I know that my wife loves me, and I know that my children, my grandchildren love me. But I know that God loves me more than all of them combined. Did you know that? God loves me and God loves you more than everybody else that loves you combined. God loves you more than that. The love of God is wonderful. To feel the love of God, to feel the presence of God, to feel the power of God, and to be able to trust in the Lord is a great blessing. May God help us as His children to be able to say with all of our hearts, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God will take care of you. May God help us to trust in the Lord. And even if, like Habakkuk said, even if all these natural things, you don't have any of them, know that you can still rejoice in the Lord, is my prayer for Christ's sake.